I'd like to take a moment to let you all know about a new nonprofit organization started by my brother Craig. It's called Treats and Truth. They fill oversized brown lunch bags with snack items, chips, crackers, popcorn, cookies, etc. Also, a bottle of water, toothbrush, toothpaste, sanitary wipes, and most importantly, a small gospel tract book of John. No cigar? I'll have to talk to him about that. The bags are then hand-delivered to the homeless and people in need in and around the Los Angeles area. Let's help get this ministry off the ground. They're a 501c3 tax-exempt organization, so any and all donations are tax-deductible and greatly appreciated. Visit their website at treatsandtruth.org. Check out the show notes for the link. Also, please follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you. Okay, welcome to episode 72 of the Burning Bush podcast, where we share the message of the Bible while enjoying a good cigar. Hope you're doing well this week. Glad you're listening. And today I am smoking the M by Macanudo Coffee. This is probably one of my favorite flavored cigars. I'm not big on flavored cigars, but this one has just a hint of sweetness, which is perfect because one thing I can't stand is an overpoweringly sweet cigar, like those ones that are just seem like they're dipped in sugar. So this one has a really nice balance between the sweet and the tobacco flavor. So really like it. So let's go head on over to the Macanudo website and see what they have to say. The flagship cigar in the M by Macanudo family. Enjoy the essence of your favorite morning cup in a hand-rolled blend with an artist's artisanal touch. The first in the M by Macanudo family, we set out to do something we'd never done before. Create a flavored cigar without sacrificing the inclusion of premium tobaccos. Where most brands choose to use great tobaccos for premium cigars and substandard tobacco for flavored cigars, we wanted to break the mold in creating M by Macanudo Coffee with a hand-rolled artisanal blend with the essence of your favorite morning cup. And the blend, the wrapper is Indonesian, binder is Philippine, filler is Nicaraguan, mellow to medium body, and their tasting notes are coffee, cream, cedar, and spice. And suggested drink pairings, dark brown ale or Pinot Noir. Or you can do what I'm doing and drink a coffee. And the vitolas are 6x44 Corona, 6x54 Bellicoso, and a Toro 6x50. That is the M by Macanudo Coffee. So let's get back into chapter 5 of Dr. Justin Bass's book, The Bedrock of Christianity. And the title of this week's section is Messianic Hope. The fervor of messianic expectation reached a boiling point in the first century AD. Many Jews were eagerly expecting the arrival of the Messiah, or even multiple Messiahs. Similar to beliefs about resurrection and the afterlife, messianic expectations were incredibly diverse among first-century Jews. The Essenes, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example, were expecting at least two messiahs, a priestly messiah like Aaron, and a kingly messiah like David. The second one, a kingly Schwarzenegger-like warrior from Commando and Predator, not the older Schwarzenegger from The Expendables, messiah, seems to have been the most dominant view. In the same way, the warrior David of old, had rescued them from their pagan enemies, this Messiah figure would violently remove the boot of the Roman Empire from Israel's neck and rule over God's kingdom from Jerusalem. This may very well be the kind of expectation that many of Jesus' disciples had. James and John, for example, asked Jesus to sit at his right hand and at his left in a physical kingdom in Jerusalem. Mark 10:35-40. Judas may even have betrayed Jesus in order to force his hand against Rome, and Peter was increasingly vexed every time Jesus predicted his coming execution. See Mark 8:27-33. Even John the Baptist may have had such a messianic expectation, leading him to momentarily doubt whether Jesus was the Messiah and sending his disciples to ask him, "Are you the expected one, or do we look for someone else?" Luke 7:19-20. Clearly, many of the things Jesus was doing and teaching during his public ministry defied the messianic expectations of the day. Then he was crucified. There could be no greater death blow to a Jewish messianic movement than crucifixion. As N.T. Wright rightly notes, the Messiah was supposed to win the decisive victory over the pagans, to rebuild or cleanse the temple, and in some way or other to bring true God-given justice and peace to the whole world. What nobody expected the Messiah to do was die at the hands of the pagans instead of defeating them. The violent execution of a prophet, still more of a would-be Messiah, did not say to any Jewish onlooker that he really was the Messiah after all, or that Yahweh's kingdom had come through his work. It said, powerfully and irresistibly, that he wasn't, and that it hadn't. We know this because we can compare Jesus and his movement to a dozen or so failed Jewish messianic type movements of his day. Jesus was seen as a would-be Messiah because he was crucified with his crime inscribed on a titulus and nailed to the cross above his head. It read, according to Mark 15:26, "The King of the Jews." The historicity of the inscription of Jesus' crime is another bedrock fact from the Gospels, and it demonstrates that Jesus was seen by the Romans as just another failed messianic pretender. But how do we know that these other messianic movements died with their founders or, as Rabbi Gamaliel says, describing a few of them, were overthrown? Acts 5:38. Couldn't their followers just have continued on without their leader? Maybe even saying that the spirit of their leader lived on, or even that he was raised from the dead? To help further our understanding of messianic hope at this time, let us take a look at these other messianic movements and compare them to Jesus's movement. And we'll have to do that next week because that's the end of this section of Dr. Bass's book. And make sure you check out the show notes for links to take you to his website where you can pick up copies of his books for yourself, which again, I would highly recommend you do because there are, I believe in the next section, there's a big chart, and there have been a few in the book since I've been reading it to you, and I've let you know where they're at. But you're not going to get these charts on an audio podcast, so it'd be really helpful to pick up a copy for yourself. And also check out the link to Treats and Truth Ministries, where you can help bring the gospel and a little joy into the lives of the homeless, as well as groundworksministries.com for daily Bible studies and devotionals. And, of course, the Burning Bush Podcast merchandise store, where you can pick up some swag to help spread the word about the show. And do me a favor and tell your friends, please. So until next week, have a great day, have a great cigar, and God bless.